Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings. This is your host, Mama Seven, and we are in the classroom. In the classroom, we spend time learning how to deal with worldly problems with some spiritual solutions. That's the purpose, right? And so every Wednesday we get together and we study, how do we do this? How do we add more God in our life? How do we have more love in our life? How do we have more of any and everything that we need in our life? And the questions vary every week, but this week we're doing something a little different. We're not focusing on ourselves. We are going to focus on those that are less fortunate. We're going to focus on people that have had difficulties. And we're going to talk about how we, everyday people, can really become heroes in the middle of this trauma that's going on. So every year we do this large fundraiser to bring awareness, education, and also to help raise funds for those families that we've committed to raising funds for over in Haiti. And it is a labor of love, but it's definitely a labor. It takes a lot to do this work. And it takes a lot to care that much. It takes a lot to do anything. There's so many people, so many groups that are really, 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 really going through it. But I wanted to take the time and really, really help to promote and work with this organization and to work with at this time of the year when, you know, we are thinking about, you know, gifts and time for me, time off, and everything else like that. And there are people that are thinking about food, very basic things. So I'm going to bring Mama Khadija on. I just want to share how much of an honor it is for me to be working on this now. And I have my little ones afoot, and I'm hoping that this is something that it will mean something for them as well. So I'm going to see if I can get Mama Khadija to raise her hand. The phone lines are packed, which is a good thing. That means there's this many people out here that care about Haiti, that want to know what's going on, that want to know how they can be a part of something positive for Haiti. So I see your hand up, and I'm going to bring you in, and we're going to get started with this wonderful fundraiser that we do every year.
Greetings, family. Greetings, Mama Seven. I am so honored and pleased that we can do this, that we have
Amen.
A platform that we can use to help feed people that are in need. I am the, I would say, chief representative of Mother Eagle Ministries. Mother Eagle Ministries is a non-denominational ministry established back in the 90s. We expanded after I moved to the Atlanta area doing workshops and spiritual retreats and the readings and the Mises, the morning camps, the rites of passages, and we have just grown in leaps and bounds. But one thing that I've always believed and I've always shared with others, and that is charity and service is a major part of your spirituality. Whether you're going to church, whether you're going to the Ile, the synagogue, the masjid, we have to give that. Whether that's money, whether that's food, whether that's handing out meals, hygiene kits, there are all kinds of ways that we can give back. And this is Mother Eagle Ministries' way of giving back to the community there in Haiti. We do a feeding program in Ghana, and we also assist with or contribute to a feeding program, a ministry out of Atlanta, Georgia. And that sister will be on to talk about the importance of feeding and how people here in the States are food insecure as well. But the Haiti We Hear You is our Go Give, our Give Back, our service ministry, part of our ministry that we do monthly. We do monthly feedings for families. During the holiday season, which is Christmas and Easter time, we do community feedings as well as the family feedings. So this is very close to my heart. We have a GoFundMe page, and on that page, I explain that this is really a part of my legacy. My mother had a feeding program in Camden, New Jersey. She was a distributor for soup from Campbell Soup, and she gave out that soup to needy families, and they came in droves to get the soup when they did not have food for their children. My sister established a feeding program, and my brother was the one who started Haiti We Hear You. Craig Williams, who is no longer with us, rest in peace, but he went to Haiti to evaluate the school system there for the university and ended up establishing Haiti We Hear You. He started off with sending school supplies to the schools because he saw the conditions of the schools. After his passing, and even before his passing, I picked up the baton and ran with it. We branched out and did food drives, school supply drives, shoe drives, and we've been going strong ever since, you know, trying to service those that don't have. And we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and I'm hoping mm-hmm. everyone had a beautiful and positive day, a family day. That's what I call it, a family day. And we had all kinds of food, all kinds of sweets and desserts. We ate well that day, and we also wasted a lot of food. We wasted a lot of food. But when we talk about a feeding program in Haiti for families that are in need, we're talking about very, very basic food stuff, staples, rice, sugar, flour, cornmeal, spaghetti, things that they eat every single day if they can get it. So that's what Haiti We Hear You is about now. It's about the food. I had a beautiful young lady offer a box of shoes to me for the Haiti project. Well, I told her at this time we can't even ship shoes and clothing. A lot of the shipping companies won't even go into Port-au-Prince because of the gang violence, because of the issues that they have there. People are not safe to travel to the port to even pick up the things. So it's you talk about trauma. It's a very, mm-hmm. very grim, sad situation there in Haiti. And if we can make a difference, I also had someone say, oh, we need, you know, it takes this much money to feed a family, afford, whatever we can donate, whatever we can give, whatever we can find in our heart to donate to these families that otherwise would not have anything is a plus. It doesn't have to be a $500 donation. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be every single month. But please remember our brothers and sisters right across the ocean, not that far away from us, that are struggling to eat basics.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And, I mean, the struggle has been there all of my life, you know. So I don't even know where the problem started, but it's been there for so long. And, you know, there's so much that we can do to build off of and to add to. So when you say anything helps, I understand that. because when you're hungry, it's not a matter of, you know, let me get this big barrel of food. It's like, no, I really need something right now. And, you know, I want to add and make sure that everybody understands there aren't any admin fees to this, okay? Everything that we get turns right around and is put in someone's hand that provides food. And it's very, very basic. Food is such a very basic need. Food is very, very basic. And so there's not any admin costs. We don't, there's nothing that we take from this. You know, this is truly a way for us to recognize all that we have by turning around and sharing with others. And that's really a blessing. I know that, you know, like I said, my children are afoot, even though they're not small enough to be afoot. But, you know, my children are around, and they know, and they have always seen my family giving. They've always seen the food, the giving of the food. And I remember one time Solomon went and sat with my aunt Sandy. And so as they're down there helping, after they're finished helping, he grabs a seat and he's like, hey, how you doing? And he's just talking to the people like they're people, because they are people. You know, I think sometimes we forget and we want to make it about them. And I'm like, if you see the pictures, you would realize those them look just like you. So we're not talking about something distant, far away, not connected. We are very connected. And everybody understands food and the idea of not having enough. So everyone has a relatability in here.
Exactly. You know, I want to share some information about the island of Haiti. It's the most populated island in the Caribbean. Port-au-Prince, the capital, has, you know, well over a million people in it. It is located east of Cuba and Jamaica. It shares a land base with the Dominican Republic. I know a lot of people hear about the cruises going to the Dominican. I think that's where the Fantastic Cruise is going with Tom Joyner this year. One of those big groups is going to the Dominican Republic. Now, last year, Haiti ranked 104 out of 107 in the Global Hunger Index. That's all the countries that deal with food insecurity. They rank 104 out of 100. And so there are only three other countries in the world that are worse off than Haiti. One half of the country is food insecure. That's almost 5 million people in one country that is food insecure. And Haiti has suffered a lot of, like, natural disasters, the flooding, the hurricanes, the big earthquake that we all remember reading about, and you know, all kinds of health issues, problems getting clean drinking water, cholera, malnutrition. It has a deteriorating labor market right now. People can't even get to work, and once they get to work, they're not guaranteed a paycheck. And, of course, they're dealing with super-duper high inflation. I remember last year I asked someone, and they take the spaghetti and they boil it down and they make a porridge, like for breakfast, something to eat slash drink as a breakfast drink. And that box of spaghetti that we pay, what, $1.54 costs $40, $40 Haitian. So I'm sure inflation has taken it up even higher. Just to give you an idea of how inflation has basically ruined the country. It's just, you know, the food prices are just incredible. I have a sister that's going to come on and talk about inflated food prices and the need to have programs like this Haiti We Hear You, church groups, agencies, whomever, we need to look out for our brothers and sisters. So, Seven, at this time, is Bercy, Sister Bercy on the line?
I would need her to press 1 so that the so she can come to the top of the line. I am humbled at the number of people that are on the line that are interested in saying, hey, I want know about this. I want to hear about this. A lot of times people don't know. They may know it's rough or it's bad, but they don't know to what degree that comes in. And so if Bercy's on the line, she'd have to press 1 so that I can see through all of the callers, you know. And for everyone that is listening, you know, we want to say thank you, sincere thanks from the bottom of our heart that you would care enough even to take the time to listen. Because some of the things that we talk about are hard to hear. You know, for me as a mother, it's hard to hear about the idea of people being hungry. It bothers me, you know. And so a lot of times this hits the jugular. This hits the jugular. So I have a caller that would like to speak while we're waiting, okay?
Okay.
Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Greetings.
How you doing? Peace and blessings.
Hey, is this Sister Nana?
That's Sister Nana.
I know who it is. I know that voice. How are you?
I'm blessed by the best, and I do the rest.
Amen. 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 thank you so much for taking time out to share with us. I know you have been involved with this program since almost the beginning, since the beginning.
Yeah, I think so, close to it.
Yeah. I just want
to let you know I was listening, and I just want to know I'm making my donation, and I will be continue on because it hurts me to know so much about our people being abused and misused as they are when they, this country right here, and the people here don't understand what it means to be scared to go outside your door to look for food. They don't know nothing about not being able to get to work. They cry over, I can't catch the bus. I don't have the money. Mm-hmm. And then the government here is so just as crooked as everywhere else. But I just want you to know that my prayers are with you and the people over there, and I will continue on. And if there's anything else I can do, I will try my best with the help of my people. So
amen.
I just want to let you know I was here listening tonight. I didn't forget.
Awesome. How wonderful. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Yes, I'd like to say that Nana has been a vital part of this program. Every single month. She knows that we feed every month. And she makes her contribution right off the top every single month. So this holiday giveaway is not a new thing for her. She does this every month. And we are so blessed, and the families that she feeds are so blessed that she has found it within her heart to donate consistently.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Amen. Nana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those donations are making a difference in people's lives. They're making a big difference. Now, we may feel that the sacrifice, because right now I think Chick-fil-A for breakfast is about $8, $9. Now, that's a sacrifice. But I'm like, $8, $9, if I can sacrifice one breakfast, means so much. That means a family might be able to eat. I can make that sacrifice. I can make that sacrifice.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
And so when you know it, when you compare, it doesn't compare. But Umi, I believe I have Sister Bercy on the line, so I'm gonna try to pick her up. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's see here.
Greetings, everyone. Yes, I'm here. Hello, everybody.
Wonderful.
Greetings.
Wonderful.
Greetings, Bercy.
My name is Bercy, and I must say thank you to Mother Eagles and his and her ministry for inviting me tonight to be on this call, this very important call with our fundraising to help a family in Haiti. I'm going to just do a little small introduction. My name is Rebecca Charles. I go by Bercy. I'm a mother of two. I'm originally from born and raised from Haiti. And it was a pleasure for me to meet Mother Khadija in Haiti near where her organization is, where she helped a lot of people with Mommy Murray. At that time when I met them in Haiti, where they were doing a fabulous job about helping people in the country in need. So the purpose of, I have to say, I'm very happy to be on this call tonight to share with you guys. Every time she called me to help out, it's always a pleasure for me to come and talk about,
Amen.
You know, the community and then what's going on in Haiti. Because a lot of us don't understand how fortunate we are and blessed in a way, no matter what our obstacles going through, because everybody's going through it right now with the inflation. But at the same time, we are so blessed in the U.S., being here
Amen.
Alone, to have to be able to have a roof and get help, you know, and we say, God, thank you for that. But right now, as we speak, Mami Khadija, today, and I would say to check the people, because the area, there's a lot of banditism that's been going around, not too far from where you are. In Haiti, they're not closed yet, but they're not too far either. So there's a lot of buggery that been going around and stuff like that. So check on the people, because I just found out about the news. And then I just got off the phone with Haiti, and in that area right now is bad.
Well, talk to us about the food insecurity in the country, because I know you go back and forth, although it's kind of a dangerous situation. It's not kind of, it's dangerous.
Yes, it is.
You do go back and forth because you have a child there and you have family there.
I have my daughter stood there and my family, my house and everything. I was supposed to be in Haiti in December, but the way I just hang up the phone with them, I don't know if I'm going to be able to travel again. That's going to be my second attempt to go this year. Unfortunately, I can't go. Right now, the insecurity for food right now in Haiti, it's horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. People are suffering because of the the bandits right now that's on the street killing people. So the people cannot go on the street to purchase anything. The import and export borders are closed. Because most of our export was used to come from Dominican Republic because of the situation that's going on with the port that they are building. Unfortunately, at the moment, they closed the border, and then the food is expensive. Right now, to be able to feed a family of three or four in Haiti, it's required $100 U.S., and then $100 U.S. right now, it's worth it, I would say, $2,600 in the Haitian money. You might think, say, oh, $2,600 is a lot. But right now, it can do nothing because of 15 pounds of the rice. That's the Uncle Beans, you know, little small bags, a medium-sized bag of Uncle Beans rice right now. It's $25 U.S. money in Haiti.
Yes.
And that lasts probably like 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1 week.
Yes.
With our oil, with our beans, with our meat, with our truffles. It's not like because we have electricity. Unfortunately, we have to purchase truffles, you know, to cook. And we do not have, like, electricity power like here. So it's very hard. It's very tough right now. And a loaf of bread that you could purchase at Walmart for $1.97 or $2 right now is $10 U.S. in Haiti. Because even the flour was being exported from outside. So whoever have, you know, remaining products at their supermarkets are doubling the price at the moment because of the situation that's going on in Haiti. Right now, I have to say it's the whole capital, the whole city of Port-au-Prince. It's very chaotic right now because I don't know. Only God knows what can we say, because every day, every time I hear those stories, and it brings tears to my eyes, to my heart. It's tearing me apart because I don't think my ancestors fought for this land, for our freedom to turn into this way.
Amen. Amen. You said a mouthful, sister.
A mouthful.
One loaf of bread is 10 U.S. dollars.
Yes, at the moment, as we speak.
Now, if you want to donate, we have a GoFundMe page. Many of the people on this call have the link. Haiti, we hear you. GoFundMe. We also have a Cash App. If you want to donate through Cash App, you can do so. Now, I'm not going to turn away a $10 or $20 donation, believe me, because as you just heard from Sister Bercy, 10 American dollars will get a loaf of bread, and sometimes that is supper, or sometimes that is breakfast. So, you know, anything that you can donate, please. Our Cash App is the $ Haiti, we hear you. Very simple. All one word. Haiti, we hear you. Or you can go to our GoFundMe page. I'd like you to go to the GoFundMe page so you can read the story. Read the story. There's a picture of me at a school. We were doing a feeding program at a school in a little town called Gracier, probably about 25 minutes outside of Port-au-Prince. In this little school, the children came to learn, but they also came to eat, and a lot of times there wasn't food. So Mama Marie and I went and did a feeding that day at that school. But please find it within your heart to pull out those checkbooks, credit cards, Cash App, whatever, we'll take it. Sister, I thank you so much for your insight. For being a major part of the struggle there, because I know that many people here in the States, because we do have some benefits of living here, even though the economy is rough here, but I know you send money back home each and every time you can, consistently, because you have a child there, you have family there, and many Haitians here in America do still have family back home. So, and I have family back there. My Mother Eagle Ministries family is there in four different townships, areas on that island. So we're going to continue the good fight. We're going to give what we have and be blessed as a result of it.
Amen. 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 It's an opportunity to be blessed. And when Sister Bercy was like, I have a child there, I can't imagine what it's like. She said this is the second time she's been trying to get there, and she can't because the conditions are so harsh. Oh, my God. You know, that is, I can't even imagine. It's so difficult. And so, you know, for all of the families that are struggling and separated through only space, not through heart, but through space, it gets really, really difficult. And, you know, when we're making these prayers and we're talking about our community and we're, this is the kind of stuff that we're talking about, this right here, you know, and it's very, very real and very present. You know, I want to just keep reminding people of how present it is. The phone lines are open. We have our guest speakers, and we're, you know, very blessed to have people that will say, hey, no, I'm going to take time out of my day and listen and speak about what I know about Haiti. But if you are just interested, like Nana did, just say, hey, I'm here. I'm feeling you. I'm thinking of this. You know, I'm here for this. That is welcome. All you have to do is press 1, and that lets us know, hey, I would like to share in the camaraderie of those that care. You know, I want to share in with those that want to be a part of the healing that comes about. And so I want to just add that. All you have to do is press 1. That lets me know in the switchboard, hey, I'd like to speak. Mother Khadija, would you like to get another caller? Because the phone lines are lit.
Okay. Can I send out a word of thanks to people who didn't even wait for this broadcast? Didn't even wait. They went straight to the GoFundMe page and they made donations. And they made substantial donations. So I want to send a special thanks out to Baba Arigangan, who lives in the DR, who made a substantial donation. Aisha Blackford out of Atlanta, who made a very generous donation.
Amen.
Nana has already made her donation. She's already made it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to also shout out one and thank one of our consistent donors who donates every single month, and that's Cynthia Sugar Lewis out of New Jersey.
Amen.
So we have people that didn't even wait for this show, didn't wait for this.
Mm-hmm.
They went ahead and made a commitment. I'm going to feed somebody today. I'm going to feed a family today. So I just wanted to say that before we got another caller, but sure, I'd love to hear from another caller.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's see. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Greetings, sister. Greetings, Mother Khadija. How are we doing
Greetings.
This evening?
Oh, we are blessed.
Oh, we are wonderful.
Yay.
Is this the Yahwo? This is the Yahwo.
Yes.
This is the Yahwo. Praise God.
Amen.
Yes. I've been with Mother Khadija and Mother Seven for quite a while, and part of any of their programs that they sponsor. And I just want to say, you know, anytime I can donate something, it just fills my heart with joy to know that somebody else is being blessed. And I understand Sister Bercy, you know, talking about all the trauma that's going on there and the people without food. And it's bad enough people here who we think the government is watching out for us can't even feed their own families here also.
Right.
So, and I just ask everybody, you know, to open up their heart and bless this ministry so we can get some food to those people, our Mother Eagle Ministry family, so they can stay healthy and strong and help bring up their children. Hopefully, you know, one day all this strife will be gone and their children can have a wonderful life. So I just thank Mother Eagle Ministries and Mother Seven, and peace and blessings to all.
Amen. Amen. Yes, that's a hope of mine too. That is a dream of mine that we don't have to keep doing this. That one day all of this is going to come to an end and, you know, we can all get happy and skip and do all that other stuff. Until then, we're going to fight the good fight, you know, but there's always prayers that there's an end to this, a peaceful end. Okay. So, yes, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that you're here. And as always, you're here. Appreciate it. Amen.
And Ashe.
Ashe.
All righty.
Yes, I wanted to share that I started out the GoFundMe page with something that that I learned about several years ago in my travels to Haiti. I first went to Haiti, I think it was 97. It's an absolutely beautiful country once you get out of Port-au-Prince. Port-au-Prince is a little bit too crowded and a little bit too congested and not clean. But the outskirts, the outlying areas, the mountains, in fact, I think the Indian, Taino Indians called Haiti the Land of Mountains or something like that. That was like a nickname for Haiti, but it's absolutely beautiful, the countryside. But I started off this GoFundMe with the dirt cookies, and several people last year that I mentioned this to questioned me about this. And, you know, because people don't have food, you know, they have to be creative. And what people did was made what they call dirt cookies now, bonbonté. And it's the clay and the salt and the shortening, and they bake it under the sun, and it fills the stomach. But there are health risks to eating the dirt cookies. Many people, like in the shanty towns in and around Port-au-Prince, mostly in the cities, the dirt is shipped in from the outskirts. But people make those cookies and feed them to women and children primarily. But that's basically how people are standing in the gap, filling the gap. And Mama Seven, if we have any other callers, please, I'd like to hear from them.
Awesome. And I do. So hold on for just a moment. Let me grab one. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Alafia, how are we doing?
Alafia.
This is Wolf. To those that do not know me, I first just want to say thank you to Mother Eagle Ministries for having this this all set up for Haiti, because it does hit home. It's birthright, and you know, it's ancestral for all of us because they set an example for the world on revolution. So I want to thank Mama Khadijah and Mama Seven for always keeping Haiti in hindsight and always just, you know, making an emphasis to make sure we pour back into to something so dear to all of our hearts.
Amen.
I was able to travel to Haiti back in 2019. And, wow, what a... just an eye-opener for myself, because that was my first exploration out the country. And it was interesting, you know, I could have went anywhere in the world because I had the funds for it, but the first place I thought about was Haiti. So me going into the country, I was definitely going with an open mind, lack of the Creole, so I was standing out like a sore thumb to some people because I only knew English. But the experience was life-changing because I had to truly see what was going on behind the scenes and not from what people were actually showing. You know, there is a environmental thing that's taking place where like from some of the images that we've seen, it is trashy and things of that nature. But actually being there, seeing, smelling, it really changed my whole perspective on how truly blessed we are here in the States. Because definitely there is a lack of whether it be from the government or just a sense of urgency of other countries trying to help Haiti. Bercy gave us some great perspective because while I was there, inflation wasn't that bad. I had to transfer my U.S. dollar to good in order to spend, but I don't remember a loaf of bread being equated to $10 at the time when I was there. So it definitely has gone up, but I can understand from what she was talking about with mm-hmm. cutting off the ports and exports yes. and the imports and things of that nature. But I guess like one of the things that was disturbing to me was to see some of the, like, where they will be getting their food from. Because we, you know, here in America, we have food regulations up to a certain extent, even though, you know,
yeah,
like,
do.
A lot of stuff we eat isn't good for us, but we have some kind of regulations. While
yes,
there, you know, I saw pigs eating from the sewage, eating from the gutters, knowing that pig was going to be somebody's dinner, knowing
yep.
that these animals weren't even being fed the proper nutrition to be healthy and be digested
wow.
correctly. And that shook me up. That shook me up a
yeah.
lot because there were some street vendors that I wanted to get food from. But just because I know my body wasn't familiar with, you know, some of these conditions that this food is made in, I didn't want to get sick coming home.
Right.
But they've just built up, I wouldn't even call it an immunity. They've just kind of got used to being sick with some of this food that they're eating.
Right.
And, you know, it just really, like, put it in perspective, like, you know, we have the options of either wanting to grow our own food and things of that nature, like,
yeah.
They can on the countryside, but everybody doesn't live in the countryside. A lot of people live, like Mama Khadija said, in the townships, the shanty towns, and the capital and things of that nature. So they're right smack dab in the middle of all the turmoil, as well as, you know, you have animals consuming off of the trash that's being put out in these places. So, and then the water over there, you know, if anything, the safest alternative is just to get bottled water. Nothing out the tap, none of that, because you just never know what was in it. Boiling wasn't an option. It's like the only thing you really could do is just buy bottled water for my own sake. So,
wow.
Just an extremely eye-opening experience. And, you know, like I said, I went back in 2019. Fast forward to now, we're talking about just a long, extensive history of political corruption, assassinations, et cetera, et cetera. And so I can only imagine what my people are suffering through right now.
Yeah, and you were there 4 years ago. A lot has happened in the past 4 years,
sure.
And people have been food insecure for like Seven said. Seven. I'm gonna out you now. You 51 years old. it's been going on for a long, long time. Mama Marie, who was in her 70s, dealt with food insecurity when she was a little girl. So this has been going on for a long time. It's just gotten to a boiling point, and every year we say, well, how much worse can it get? How much worse can it get? How much higher can a loaf of bread cost, you know? And every
right,
year
right.
We're surprised. We're
mm-hmm.
seeing. We're seeing it. It's going
yeah.
up, and up. And it's
yeah.
becoming even more out of reach for so many people. I mean, 50% of the people are food insecure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so
it really is because they can. You know, it's because
yeah.
they can. And we see it here during, like, the hurricanes. People jack up the prices of everything. And, you know, and that's just because a storm's coming.
You could drive a couple hours and outrun that situation. But when you're on an island, you are on an island. You are dependent on those ports. And when the ports close down, then what?
So I'd like to ask a question.
I wanted to ask a question. Now that you've been, do you think about going back? You know, once we can settle down the political unrest, once it becomes safe again, do you think about going back?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Like, it's for me, it's ancestral, but for anyone, you know, I know it is a lot of political tension, and I know all the things that Bercy has mentioned and everything that's going on. Like, it is dangerous, but I don't want to discourage anybody because that's our history. And, you know, just getting a different perspective is just vital to kind of humble us, make us a little bit more grateful, make us a lot more grateful. It's like you can read about it. You can read about it. You can see it on TV. So you act, like I say, there was, like, with the food insecurity, there were certain smells that I can't even describe. Yeah. And I work a trash now, and I can deal with those smells here compared to some of the things I smelled at Haiti. And so it's like those things are all eye-opening. And, you know, outside of just, you know, the turmoil, Haiti is still a beautiful country. In itself, it's just a lot of things that place, a lot of corruption that's taking place, and things that's overseeing that. But when the time is right, you know, I would definitely go back. That'd be another trip back. I'd be excited to go.
Amen.
Awesome. Awesome.
Amen. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us.
Thank
you so much, Will, for sharing that perspective, because we need to hear all sides of the story. We need to hear all sides
of
the story. I appreciate that.
Amen.
Love y'all.
Love you too.
Love you more.
How about this? I was. I'll share with everybody because I have no shame. Mom Khadijah always talking about, oh, Seven, you need to go. You need to go. I was like, are they going to let me smuggle in some Haitians when I come back? I'm not leaving without one of them with me, okay? And she's like, no, they can't smuggle them. I said, okay, well, then I can't go because I already know I'm not going to behave. I'm not behaving. I'm not going to listen. So, you know, it is very difficult to see all of that, but yet, you know, you can still see the beauty of it. You know, growing up, I've always seen pictures and the beautiful, like, seaside, and I'm just like, wow, can I just see that? And you're like, it's hard to appreciate that until you've gone through this. Sometimes it's a process, you know? And so I may be in that trip going to see and visit because I'd love to see it. I would love to see it with my eyes and meet my cousins, you know?
Right. We have another donation that came in from Rebecca Charles, who I know sends money back every month for her family. But she decided she was going to put in the Mother Eagle Ministries pot and feed some people that weren't necessarily family. So, Rebecca Charles, Bercy, we appreciate your donation. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Okay, if we have another caller, Seven, can we hear from some other folks?
Yes. And I appreciate everybody taking the time out of their day to spend this time here. So hold on for just a moment. Greetings, welcome to the program.
Are you talking to me?
Yes,
hello?
Greetings.
Alapia, Mother, and Sister Seven, how are you?
Alapia, is this Ayo?
Yes, ma'am, this is Ayo.
Oh, my goodness.
How are you?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, we go way back. We go way back. This is one of
my
godchildren. Yes.
I am so overwhelmed with all that I have been hearing. And
amen.
I must say, Mother Eagle Ministries, you are still at saving lives. You
amen.
Guys have saved my life. Mother Eagle Ministries saved my life. And to hear what you're doing, the great works in Haiti, oh, my God, it's just so overwhelming. It was so
wonderful.
All of this.
Yes.
This is my first time on the call, and I miss you, Seven, so much.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Seven, but it is so such a joy to see what you guys are doing. I mean, it's overwhelming. The things that they have to deal with there is bad.
Yeah.
And it's so sad, and my heart was breaking. But you know what? I'm just so glad to be on this call and learning about what you guys are doing. And keep
amen.
Up the wonderful work. Keep up the wonderful work. Keep doing it. Keep helping these people. Please just keep helping them.
Well, you know what? This it takes a village.
Yeah,
and that's what this call is all about. It's all about the village. It takes a village. So it's
and
not
you, know,
you guys.
I will share the GoFundMe with people that I know on this end. I will just share
yes.
it. And then now I have a better idea what it's about, and I will explain it. Oh, my God. I just miss y'all so much.
Amen.
And I
this,
think
this is our work. This
yes.
is our work.
Yes.
So
yes.
don't exclude
yes.
yourself from the wonderful things that you think we're doing. We are doing. We,
yes.
all of us.
Mother Eve.
The village. Amen.
This is, oh, my God. I can't believe I'm talking to you guys. I'm not going to hold
I know. You're making,
much,
my, you're making my heart hurt. You're making my heart hurt.
I
hope I see you this summer.
I hope so, too.
For everybody that knows,
so
you know. I hope I see you this summer.
Okay.
I'm going to pray on that so much, but I just wanted to tell you all I love you, and I thank you and continue to do the wonderful work that you are doing. These people need you guys, and
thank
I still
you.
Need
thank
you.
And I love you too.
Seven, I'll get information from Mommy how to contact you, okay?
Please. Amen.
I love you both.
Please.
Love you both.
Oh, how wonderful. Ooh, talk about a blast
yes.
in the past. My
That's
goodness.
Ayo from up in New York. She was complaining about
yes.
how cold it was up there today.
Well,
but
no,
yeah.
it's cold. You know, and one thing that she said, she right there, she said it, was our work, talking about the village. So
mm-hmm.
let's say it's tight right now, because it is tight right now for some people. But Mother Khadija, you said the GoFundMe was, you know, an ongoing thing. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes,
if,
the GoFundMe
if
is ongoing.
If the new year is better for you, right. If the new year is better for you, you know, make that mental commitment that, hey, I'm gonna do this, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. A wonderful approach, you know, I tell a wonderful approach all the time. We do first fruits. Part of your first fruits are going into Haiti, we hear you, okay? So this is part of what we do, and I'm hoping that, you know, our part gets bigger. But I also want to share, this is not all financially driven either. We need people that are going to, like Sister Ayo said, spread the word, share, you know, let it come up, remind people, hey, you know, we do have a church to support. You know, our church doesn't have walls. Our church has, you know, rice, very basics. Our church has oil. Mom Khadija, if you don't mind, take a minute and share what type of things are purchased, because I started naming them, and I'm like, wait a minute. Did we even speak about, because we're not buying lobster, friends. We're not buying lobster, okay? What are you purchasing? What is the funds, what happens with the money?
Spaghetti. And it wasn't until last year that I realized that Haitian people ate spaghetti, but they have something called Haitian spaghetti. It doesn't have meatballs in it, though. but it has the tomato paste, and then they make the porridge out of spaghetti, of course, cornmeal and flour, sugar, oil, rice and beans.
Mm-hmm.
That's the shopping list.
And did you say sugar?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rice and beans.
So
I would like to start incorporating some the carnation dried milk. We can't afford the formula, but the dried milk would beat the sugar water that a lot of the babies are drinking.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. So, you know, family, we're not talking about lobster. This is not that. We're talking about some very basic beans and rice. We're talking about
we're
some
not
very
even
basic.
Talking chicken.
No,
we're not
no,
even
no,
talking
not
chicken.
Mm-mm. And like Brother Wolf said, and it's kind of interesting, I hadn't thought about it, looking at the care of the animals, he was like, yeah, I don't want to take a chance on that. So, you know, even when they do get a little bit of meat, it's questionable. It's questionable. Everything about their diet, questionable, which is why we're trying to bring in, you know, good food, you know, trying to create some foundations, you know. That sugar water, I'm telling you, milk, powdered milk would make such a difference. It would give it more substance, you know. Hunger is a very negative energy. It produces negativity. You know, you don't want hunger. You know, hunger makes you step outside yourself. So really, family, you know, this is why we do this work every month. But during the holidays, we're really hoping to be able to do a little bit more. So, Mom Keish, if you can, how do you do your feeding programs? Because I know you were saying you have a feeding program. We're working in Haiti. We're working in Ghana. How does this go? How, you know, do people come to one house or, you know, how does this work?
Well, when we do the community feedings, they're usually done outside. A lot of the cooking in Haiti is done outside, and that's why Bercy mentioned the charcoal, because you have to purchase the charcoal in order to cook. It's done outside, whether you're cooking for your family or whether you're doing the community feedings. But the community feedings are done outside, like outside of somebody's house, and people come by that are in need of food and get the soup, get a piece of bread, whatever it is that they have to offer. So we do that kind of feeding, the community feedings at Christmas and Easter in three places in Haiti and in outside of Accra, Ghana. I have a sister friend who does the feedings there for me, for Mother Eagle Ministries. And basically, that's what we're doing, those community feedings and feeding the families. Now, money is sent to the families. I have not been able to get there in 3 years because it is too dangerous. Every time I've attempted to go, I haven't gone as far as buying a plane ticket because my people there are telling me, don't come, don't come. It is just too dangerous. You know, you would stick out. They would know that you don't speak Creole mm-hmm. and that you're an American, thinking that you have money. They would, you know, as it is when I go, I don't wear my jewelry or anything like that. That would make me stand out. But I've had to send money transfers. And then the people have to go to the money places, which are on, let's say, every other corner, where the government takes like $1.50 of the money that is sent for some type of government tax and gives the rest of the money to the Haitian families in Haitian dollars. because, of course, the American dollars is worth more if they gave out the dollars. So they give the Haitian dollar. And that's how we do the feedings right now, because we are not able to even get there to do any
and to get money,
significant feeding.
And to get anything through the ports. You know,
you can't. At one point we were sending barrels, but we can't even send the barrels now.
Yeah.
Because that makes you a target. If you, first of all, getting to the ports is very dangerous. You have to go through gang infested areas. You may be robbed. You may be killed. So people are afraid to go, rightfully so, to go to the ports. And then a lot of the ports are closed. I had talked with the shipping company about a week ago about sending a barrel, and he said that his shipping company won't touch Port-au-Prince. Won't touch Port-au-Prince. They go to another area in Haiti, which is not where our families are. So it's more safe. It's clean. It's upscale. So that's where they go. But then how would my people, the families that we service, get the food from there? So it's a rough situation. It's a rough situation.
Yes.
I know the people at the money transfer places here in the United States are looking at me like, where is she getting this money from? It's clean.
Yeah.
It's all clean.
Yeah.
But it's been a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Very dangerous.
So,
very dangerous.
Yes, I have a couple more people I need to thank. Brother Benjamin made a donation, and Brother Martin out, I don't know where Brother Benjamin is, but Brother Martin made a significant donation. He's out of the D.C. area. So we've got people all up and down the East Coast. I'm looking for some West Coast people, West Coast, to come forward with their donations. But I want to thank you for making those donations, making the sacrifice, feeling that this is a worthy cause. This is a worthy cause.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. I know you were waiting on your caller.
Okay. Do you want to bring Sister Benita in at this time?
Yes.
Sister Benita does feeding. She's here in the United States. She's out of the Atlanta area. I work with her ministry. It's called Faith Works, and Faith Works. And she does feeding. She does clothing. She does a Christmas drive, Easter drive. She feeds every month as well. She has also been a major supporter for Mother Eagle Ministries and this feeding program. Haiti, we hear you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sister Benita, can you please press 1 and come on and share with us? I want to hear something about the joy and the blessing of giving. Sister Benita, are you with us?
I'm here. Good afternoon, everyone. Greetings.
Greetings.
Greetings. Greetings.
I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm really blessed for this opportunity. Before I start, I just want to just take a moment just to do a short prayer, and I just want to thank God for Mama Khadija and all the work that she has done for Haiti, and not just Haiti,
Amen.
Just for other people. I want to also take time out to just thank God for her family, for her daughters helping her and donating and giving and working with her with this project. So, Father, we just thank you this evening for this call. We thank you for everyone that is on this line. Father, we thank you for everyone that donated. And, Father, those who have the heart to donate but don't have the funds to give, but they wanted to support and they gave the number to somebody else and they're telling about the work that Mother Khadija is doing. So, Father, we ask that you touch everyone that is touching and agreeing with this project. We ask that you touch and bless everyone who have given and give it back to them 100-fold, pour into their lives, Father. Give them the overflow. Keep them with long life and strength to do this work, to do this project. Keep Mother Khadija in good health, Father. Give her the ability to stay strong. Give her the ability to keep on keeping on in this season. Father, we know that you're getting ready to do great work for her ministry, and we just thank you for it in advance. Father, we just thank you for all that is connected, because in this season, Father, you're getting ready to do something good before this year is out, and we just thank you for just pouring into all of our lives, and we just thank you for just being Jehovah Jireh, because you're always providing each and every day. And so, Father, we just thank you, and we just praise you, and we glorify you, Father. I just wanted to take a moment to just give that prayer, because sometimes forget about just saying thank you, because the work that Mother Khadijah is doing, it takes strength. It takes long-suffering. It takes sacrifice.
Amen.
And I just thank her for the long-suffering. I thank her for the sacrifice. I thank her for just a job well done. We give her her flowers today. We honor you today, because helping others and, you know, taking from yourself, and I hope she don't take this the wrong way, but Mother Khadijah is retired, and she works off a monthly income, but God has sustained her. God has blessed her.
Amen.
God has opened the doors for her and gave her favor within, so that she's able to do the work that she is doing and to continue to do the work. Because feeding is hard, you know, and so giving sometimes is hard, but it's easy when you put Christ with it, because sometimes what we think we don't have and what we think we can't do, he show up and he show out and give us that abundance, and he pour into us so that we're able to pour into others. So I just want to, you know, give her flowers today while she's here with us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And we met a while back, I think about 7-8 years now. We actually met in a Walmart. And the connection that God has given us have been a true connection, and I'm truly grateful for it. She is truly a mother. She is truly a person that you can communicate with and speak with and ask, what do you think or how do you feel? And the connection wasn't just about business, but the connection was about what God has given us to do. And all of us have a plan for our life. And I think about Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for the plans that I have for you. And God knew that he planned for Mother Khadijah to be one of his willing workers to help his people. God knew that I would be one of his willing workers to help his people in the area that he has placed me in. All of us that are on this call, we are all willing workers. We are all here for somebody else. Our life is just not our life.
Amen.
Our life is to be an angel to somebody else. Whether
Amen.
It's a small gesture or a big gesture, but whatever it is, it's a willing worker for Christ. It's doing his work. And even
Amen.
When we pass those who don't even like us or may think that they're our enemies, but God even touches our heart to even feed those that don't even care about the work that we're doing. That's because of the love that he has placed in her heart to help his people. Because a lot of times when you're helping others and you're feeding others, you get talked about. People don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. You need this yourself. You need that. Why would you give to another country? But I'm here to tell you today, tonight, that no matter what language you speak, whether it's French, whether it's Spanish, whether it's ASL, whether you're Braille, whether it's Chinese, there's one language that all of us have and that we speak and that we say is I'm hungry. We can easily
Amen.
Get up and walk and go into our refrigerator and pull something out and go into the grocery store, but there's others out there that lives up under the bridges in the city of Atlanta and other places, and there are people in Haiti that lives in a one-bedroom shack that sometimes they can say they're hungry but don't have the funds and don't have the money to just go out and purchase food or have the food in the refrigerator. They have to wait for someone to come and give a donation, bring in a bag of rice and a loaf of bread for them, or they have to wait for somebody to come up under the bridge and bring them a sandwich or give them a bottle of water. We are the willing workers for Christ. We are
Amen.
The chosen. We are the ones that he have the plan for our life, not to hurt us or harm us, but to give us hope and a future for others and for ourselves, to know that if I brought you through this, and if I'm giving you the strength to do this, if I'm giving you the funds to do this, this is the plans that I have for you. And I'm just truly grateful to be connected to a ministry. And I just want everyone to know on this call tonight that, Haiti, we hear you. We hear you loud and clear. We hear you.
Amen.
Haiti, we hear you. America, we hear you. China, we hear you. No matter where you are and who you are, we hear you. We hear the cry of hunger. We hear the cry for people. And tonight, I just want to thank everyone for just being connected to this call. Even though you may not have given, even though you may have the heart to give, whatever it is, God connected you to this call for a reason. Because he wants you to know that he has a plan for you. You may not be the one to take the loaf of bread out. You may not be the one to get on a plane to go to Haiti. But you may be the one to be a giver. And not just a giver, but a cheerful giver. Because I do understand and I do know that the seeds that we plant are the harvest that we reap. And when we give, I do understand that it's pressed down, shaken together, and it runs over in our bosom, that he's going to give it back to you more and more each and every day. And I am a witness of it. I am a testimony of it.
Amen.
And I don't want to run over my. But I just want you to understand, and I want you to know that I've learned to be a giver. I can even remember when I was a little girl living in West End on Lawton Street, across from the park. I remember my mom making big breakfasts, and she would say, take this plate over to the homeless man in the park. And we would take her fine dishes over to the homeless man, and he would go to the water fountain and wash that plate out and bring it back and sit it on our porch.
Wow.
And because she was a giver, because my grandmother was a giver, it was something that was implanted in me. It was the seed put in me. And so because Mama Khadijah's mother was a giver, and because she planted into others, she saw that as a little girl, and she took up those things that her mother sowed into others, and she began to sow them into other people. And God began to use her as an angel for others. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers.
Amen.
We are the
Amen.
One who his work. And I'm grateful for this ministry. I begin
Amen.
To even think about Isaiah. And it says, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright and noon, as noon. The Lord will guide you continuously, giving you water. When you are dry and restoring your strength, you will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of the cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. God has sent us over here to restore and to rebuild. It may take a process, but understand there's a process to the promise. It takes increments to build to something great, whether it's a dollar,
Amen.
Whether it's 50 cents, whether it's $5, whatever it is, it builds to something great. And we are rebuilders for the kingdom. We are rebuilders for his glory. We are rebuilders for his people. One thing my grandmother used to always say, and she used to always say, Nita, remember this, you may say where you've been, but you never can say where you're going. And today I tell everyone on this call, you may say where you've been, but you never can say where you're going. You too may be the one in the food line. You too may be the one who needs a bag of rice or a bag of beans. You just never know if you would need these things or need a pack of chicken or just something. And what people don't understand, even here in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, the food banks don't even give the food out like they used to. They don't even have the quantity or the quality of the food anymore because the prices are so expensive. And what people don't understand, you may go stand in a church organization line or a food bank line to receive a food basket or a box. They have to pay for that. And because so many people are not givers anymore, or they don't have the funds, and because things have went up so high, they can't even purchase the quality and the quantity of food like they used to. So now they have to just give you what they are able to
purchase. And with this, I understand and I see each and every day that there are so many people that are struggling. But even in the midst of the struggle, God has somebody for everybody.
Amen.
And I thank God for him having Mother Khadijah for somebody. I thank God for
that.
Sometimes I can't even give to Haiti as much as I would like to give. But because of the work and the different things that I try to do that I'm doing, you know, I try to put a little here and a little there and a little over here. But at the end of the month, and God always show up and he show out and he begins to just show me that I'm a big God, not a little God. And even in the midst of him showing me how awesome he is and how he showed me how he worked this out and how he worked that out and how he connected this and how he's able to allow me to send groceries through Walmart and Kroger for people, you know, he began to say, you may have started with this budget, but at the end of the month, I'm at a different budget. He has given me wonderful people who donate each and every month or donate when they can. And sometimes, and I'm going to end, but sometimes we think we're just giving to just give. But I need you to understand you're not giving to just give. That you gave is stored up for you. God is watching what you do. He's watching how you're giving. He's watching what you gave. And because you gave to his people, he has to bless you back because you blessed his people. Because you're helping his people. And even when you go into the grocery stores and you round up and they say, do you want to round up 15 cents? Do you want to round up a dollar? You're giving to his people. And sometimes it may seem just a little bit that you gave. But that little bit was a big thing. It was a big deal. Because you may have given to an organization that's helping mothers feed their children or the children's hospital. And you're thinking you're just giving a little bit. And I'm telling you this for a reason. You may feel that I only gave 15 cents, but that 15 cents connected with somebody else's 15 cents. And that 15 cents was a lot that you gave. And God remembered that. And he's smiling on you for that. And whenever you're in a place of need or whenever you're in a place of needing a door open up for you, God is smiling on you because he remembered what you did. Sometimes when we give, it's a test. If God is testing us, do you trust me? Do you believe? Will you release it? Because if you can release what I gave you, then I can put back into you greater.
Amen. Amen. Sister Benita, amen. You have blessed us with some wonderful words. And I really am, we need people to understand it's a cycle. It's a cycle you put in, God blesses you out. You put in, God blesses you out. And you really, really hit that head. I really appreciate those words. They meant something. And for a lot of people that don't have a voice, you were able to give that voice of gratitude, of thanks, of remembrance, of service. It really, really was needed. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And I know that you do your own program. I wish much success for your program and for the holidays so that all of those that get blessed by your organization, may they have everything that they need moving
forward. Amen, and keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. And we love you. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you're doing for others, and you too will be blessed. As you know,
with such grace,
because you are you're blessed. You've blessed so many people in the Atlanta area. It's just, you know, I couldn't think of a better local person that could come on and talk about basically the joys of giving. You know,
amen.
Because she's living it. She's not just talking it. She is living it.
Every week.
So
I will always
support her ministry because she's doing the daggone thing. Okay.
That's right.
And she supports Mother Eagle Ministries.
Yes, she does.
But I wanna share that if you wanna donate, it's not too late. We're gonna be taking donations up until the first of the new year. But we have a Cash App, the dollar sign, Haiti, H-A-I-T-I, we, W-E, hear you. That's our Cash App, dollar sign, Haiti, we hear you. Or you can go to the GoFundMe page, and that, it too, is Haiti, we hear you. So please go and make your donation. We are waiting on donations to come in so we can get these donations out so people will not have a American traditional Christmas dinner, but will have more than the rice and the beans, or at least be able to afford the rice and the beans. I just want to share that many of our families that are food insecure, all of them are, can't afford to get the charcoal, get the rice, get the beans, get the oil, get the seasoning. So what many very poor people do in Haiti, they'll go out and buy a plate of food for the vet from a vendor, because there are people walking around selling plates of food, and they will take that plate of food home and feed their family with that plate of food. So can you imagine going to a restaurant here in America and getting an entree, a plate of food, and taking it home and sharing it among you, your husband, and three or four other children? Cannot afford to get everyone a plate, so everyone shares in that plate of food. So, again, this is a worthy cause. I want to thank all the people that have donated. Blessings upon blessings will come back to you. And I tell people, it doesn't matter if you don't have a $50 donation. We are taking donations. That could be a dollar, that could be $5, that could be $10. Whatever it is that you have that you can share, please share with our brothers and sisters in Haiti. So I definitely want to ask if there are any other people that want to share. Did you learn anything today? Did you feel anything today? Did we touch something inside of you to say, let me take a look at this Haiti situation. Let me take a look at this food insecurity worldwide, but in particular, let me take a look at this Haiti, we hear you. Do we have any hands raised, Seven, at this time?
No, we do not. We had a lot of callers call in. We had a lot of people listening, taking notes, making plans. You know, I love the education of this for those of people like myself that have never been to Haiti. It's really hard to even imagine some of this, you know. And so, and I don't want to watch it on TV. I don't want it narrated in a certain dialect, you know, to be politically correct. I want to hear it from people like me about what's going on. And I love the different perspectives that were shared. So this is always educational for me. And, you know, one big thing was when Brother Wolf was like, when I asked, I was like, would you go back? And he's like, definitely. Going back and taking others. So when it comes time, you know, when it becomes safe, when we can really come and be together and be with the people there in a safe setting, you know, these are types of things that I learned about, and it's a possibility. So there was a lot of, there's always a learning lesson for me. There's always a learning lesson for me.
Yes, yes, yes. And I just want to close with, there's a brother that spoke last year at on our marathon. He spoke and he shared his perspectives on the food shortage, the food insecurity in Haiti. And I'd like to bring him on now, Brother Ibrahim out of Atlanta, who has been a community activist, teacher, mentor, a part of A Wonderful Approach, has been very active and involved in Mother Eagle Ministries. Brother Ibrahim, can you press one and come on the line?
Greetings. Thank you for such a warm and wonderful introduction. That was fabulous. Ah, man. Like last year and the years prior to that I hadn't had the opportunity to be a part of, but the year before this year, and the years continuing coming. Here, let me take it off. I may be getting a little echo. Let's try this. Okay. The years coming, look forward to working with, you know, it's crazy. It's hard to say you look forward to working with the Hades. We hear you in such for such a hard cause, noble, but it's such a hard cause. And just to hear everyone be involved, all the participants, to hear, you know, the takes and the perspectives, it's encouraging, it's motivational, it's inspiring, yet it still is heart-wrenching. So, you know, and here's an opportunity. I always like to think that here's an opportunity for me in some sort of way to make amends, a small sort. Every day we go through just stuffing our faces, taking for granted just the everyday luxuries, and even at times we don't consider them to be a luxury until we hear about people who don't have the basic essentials. And so here's a time, here's an opportunity for each and every one of us to strengthen our humanitarian vibration, to elevate that humanitarian frequency, to break out of the shackles of gluttony that many of us fall into, or just lackadaisicalness and apathy, not caring about our neighbor. I'm reminded, the mother that just left, man, she hit us. Did she not deliver it? Wow. And it reminded me of right, and it reminded me of the parable about the Samaritan. And one of the things that stuck out in the parable of the Good Samaritan is what that was, that the Samaritan wasn't this person's physical neighbor. If I'm not mistaken. So it isn't a matter of proximity. It is to be a good neighbor, to be a decent human being, a righteous, God-fearing, universally conscious human being, is to be concerned for and, to the best of your ability, alleviate the suffering of others. Wow, wow. I could just go on and on, but it's hard to come back, come behind such a heartfelt speech that the mother had given us.
That's her norm.
That is her norm.
That is her
all the time. She's not asking.
Right. With us having two minutes left, Brother Ibrahim, would you share some words of praise, some additional words of praise, so that we can, you know, we're dealing with two spiritual organizations. You know, this is what we do. And so there was bound to be prayer in the middle of it, but there's always prayer at the end of it. Mom Khadija, are you ready for that?
But before we do that, we're getting more donations in. So I just want to say a warm and hearty thank you to Milola, Therese Noble, who made a substantial contribution for her family. And
right,
Nana went back and made another contribution.
Thank you. That is super awesome. All right, we have 90 seconds. We want to get that prayer in.
Okay.
Yes,
let's get it in. To the best of our Father, Mother, God, we stand boldly before you because these are bold times. Lord, we know that you are a God, a universe of abundance. And so we're expecting the abundance. The lack is due to the lack of devilment in low places and high places. We ask that you remove the brigands. We ask that you remove the pirates and the bandits that would hinder us from getting food stuff to Haiti's. We ask that you remove corrupt government officials that would hinder us getting food stuff to Haiti. Lord, you have elevated and raised Haiti in the past to a nation of liberty, a nation of freedom. We ask that you elevate her to that beautiful station once again. We know that if we stand in this, in this belief, in all boldness, knowing that you are this God of abundance and this God of promise and this God of freedom and justice and equality and all that is beautiful, right, and exact, if we believe this to be so, faith of a mustard seed, as we've been told, We know that this will be brought to fruition in your name and by your name and through your name. All these things are possible. Amen, 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 ashe.
Amen.
Ashe. All right. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much.
Pray this out.
Thank you.
And thank everyone that's on this call. Bless everyone that's on this call. Abundance to everyone that made donations. Abundance to everyone that has intentions. And we just want to thank again Mama Seven for this platform, because without her, we could not have reached so many people.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All for the love of God. All for the love of God. Amen.
Yes. Amen.